Thank you, worship team. My mother had a few sayings. Did your mom have a few sayings? One of the things I was thinking about this week, for some reason, she would always shake her head now and then like this and say, "It's beyond me. It's beyond me." Usually something that one of the boys did, like me. She'd say, "It's beyond me," when she couldn't comprehend. Does anybody say that? Have you heard that recently? It's beyond me. Well, that's been my experience preaching through Ephesians. I can't tell you how many times I've reading through and shaking my head going, "This is beyond me." It's just so rich in theology and truth, and it's so multifaceted. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at times he has to make up a word to try to express what is being taught. I was thinking of Isaiah 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." And that's been my experience in reading through Ephesians. Ephesians 1 says, "We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And as I went through Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, and Ephesians 3, we're at the end of Ephesians 3 today, I counted 40 heavenly blessings, statements made about us, the church, for us to enjoy, and put them into a word cloud here. And God says in Ephesians that we are saints, we are saved, we are sealed, we are seated, we are raised, sons and daughters brought from death to life. Believers are adopted, chosen, predestined, called, enlightened, planned, children of God. We're not accidents. And believers are not strangers or foreigners, but ones who have been brought near to God, together with others, with equal access, equal standing as fellow members and citizens of God's household. Believers are God's mystery revealed, even to angels. Angels didn't see this gathering here this morning. We've been placed into a new society called the church, a family, a building, a dwelling, a body, a holy temple. We are a holy temple filled with the Holy Spirit. Believers are His creation, His workmanship, His heirs, His inheritance. Think of that. You are His inheritance. We are beloved, favored, forgiven, blameless, partakers of all the gospel promises. It's mind-blowing what God says about us, about His children. If I were to say these things about myself, you would think I had gone mad. And I would think I had gone mad. But look at what God says about us. He says things about us we would never think to believe about ourselves. But that is the good news of the gospel. I want to just say with my mother, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. Now let's contrast what God says about His people with what atheists Bill Nye, the science guy, says about people. Bill Nye said this, "I'm a speck on a speck, orbiting a speck among other specks, among still other specks, in the middle of specklessness. I am nothing. I am insignificant. We won't repeat that." Bill Nye, the science guy. I hope he doesn't talk to his grandkids like this. Do you think he talks to his grandkids like this? No, he does not. It reminds me of another saying of Mom. She'd shake her head and say, "So dumb." She said that a lot when we were around. But at least Bill Nye is honest in an atheist, materialist worldview. There is no hope. There is no promise. There is no point. There is no God. There's just nothing except one giant contradiction. He says he's a speck in the middle of specklessness. How dumb is that? But God's word says we are not specks, we are saints. In a world God created, among other saints, living in a marvelous mystery God is now revealing in the church, we are something. We are God's workmanship, made significant by the riches of his grace which he lavishes upon us. This is all these lofty, theological, awesome truths in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, meant to lift our souls in spontaneous praise. Good theology should lead you to doxology. Doxology is spontaneous praise to the Lord and all he's done for us. And that is how the end of chapter 3 goes. It's a doxology. It's a prayer to lift the church even higher into these great truths. So I want to read just six verses. This is Paul's prayer for the church, Ephesians 3, verse 14. This is the word of God. For this reason, that's all the blessings that he's listed here. For this reason, I bend my knees, so he's praying, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, Father, we've just read this prayer, which Paul breathed out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this prayer is beyond us. So I pray you would teach us, you would help us to understand it, and pray like this, and apply this to our lives so we can learn to pray like this for ourselves and for our family and for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a couple of observations here before I look at the parts of this prayer. And the first observation is Paul prays to the Father, just as Jesus instructed us to do. But he's also seeking the special working of the Holy Spirit and the Son on behalf of believers. And that's the way Ephesians 1 began. If you remember, Ephesians 1 began with recognition of the triune God, the special work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have here at the end of Ephesians 3, we have this prayer in recognition to the triune God. It is to the Father about the Son and the Holy Spirit on our behalf. So all through the scriptures we see this affirmation that God is one, but God is in three persons. And this prayer confirms that belief. The second observation is this. This is a three-part prayer, and I get there by looking for that word "that," because that explains the three purpose clauses of the prayer. And the first "that" is there in verse 16. That's the first petition. It is a prayer for inner strength provided by the Holy Spirit. And the second "that" is in verse 17. That's the second petition. It's a prayer that we would be able to comprehend how much Christ loves us. And the third petition, the third "that," is down in verse 19. The third petition, purpose for the prayer, which is that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So let's look at these three parts of the prayer that is so much beyond us, strength beyond ourselves, comprehension beyond ourselves, and fullness of God beyond ourselves. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached on Ephesians for 8 years. I mean, my goal is to preach through Ephesians in 12 weeks. 8 years he preached through Ephesians. And in his commentary, he said this about this passage today. He said, "I confess freely that I do not recall in my preaching ministry having dealt with anything in the Scriptures where I have been so conscious of my inadequacy and my inability as this particular passage. What else can we add to the prayer? It's perfect. Anything that I try to say or preach today will just make it worse. We should just close in prayer at this point. He's just admitting, how can you even express what this prayer expresses? So it is a biblical prayer, and we're taught to pray like this, and Paul prays for the church like this, so let me take a stab at it, and may the Lord help us to understand it and apply it. So first, we pray for inner strength by the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, that He would grant you, that He would gift you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner self. So this is strength for the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So here we are praying for inner strength. Inner strength refers to your soul, to your mind, to your will, to your emotional life. So I would think about things like being courageous, to be clear-headed, to be mature, responsible, obedient, determined, holy, all that good stuff for the soul. We're praying for strength here. And think about what happens to people when they are inwardly weak. They give up too quickly when they face trouble. They're too anxious. They're fearful to try things or do things. They're immature. They don't have focus that they need. They may be naive. They may be unstable. They get tossed around back and forth by all the opinions of other people and what other people think, and they're tossed around by their own feelings. That's a picture of being inwardly weak. Paul is praying for inner strength. It is a discipline, but notice here it's also a gift. It's something we can pray for, that God would grant to us. One of the riches God gives to His people is inner strength by the Holy Spirit. Do you think to pray about that? Do you think to pray for that? We should pray for it. And then it says there's a key to inner strength here in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So more inner strength means more inner dwelling of Christ in our hearts. Our hearts are not to be compartmentalized. Well, this part of my heart gets Jesus, this part of my heart does not get Jesus. Christ is to dwell, to move in, to be at home with all of us. Our hearts are not to be a wayside rest. Our hearts are not to be an emergency room. Our hearts are not to be a hotel for Jesus. Our hearts are to be a home, a permanent home for Christ. I've heard some preachers say we should not invite Jesus into our hearts. It's not in the Bible, they say. Well, what do we have here? We have a prayer that Jesus would come and dwell in our hearts. Inner strength means then that Christ will be at home in us, in the whole house of our hearts, in the rec room of our hearts, in the bedroom of our hearts, in the closets, in the basement, in the deck, in the kitchen, in the computer room, in the garage. We're praying for inner strength because Christ is the one who is strong in us, and we want Him to live everywhere in us. That is the key. That is the secret to inner strength. Now, was anybody stronger than Jesus? Did He not defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil? Was He ever disobedient? Did He ever sin? Did He ever fail to do the will of God? So we invite Him to come and live in us. We have His strength in us in every aspect of our lives. That is what we're praying for. Because the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4. So what an awesome prayer to pray for inner strength. And that means Christ would dwell everywhere in us. What a great gift. What a power that we have to pray for and enjoy. Well, the second petition is praying for comprehension of Christ's love. Verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So verse 18 gives us the essence of the second prayer request, and that is to be able to comprehend with all of the saints. This is a prayer for all of us, not just for one Christian, but for all believers, to comprehend all the dimensions of Christ's great love for us. D.A. Carson said that Paul clearly assumes that Christians do not adequately appreciate the love of Christ. Is that true about us? Do we not appreciate the love of Christ? Can you imagine the trouble we're going to be in if we don't understand and appreciate and comprehend the great love of Christ for us? That just smells like all kinds of trouble, all kinds of spiritual wreckage if we don't understand the love of Christ and comprehend it for us. The better we grasp Christ's love for us, the more we can be rooted and grounded in it and then live that out in a healthy, loving community, right? So we need to comprehend it so that we can be rooted and grounded in it. And you should know that in order to grow in this world, you need to be planted in loving soil. Is that correct? We need loving, truthful soil in order to grow in this world. So we are praying that we could grasp, as a Christian, how much Christ loves us. This is not a prayer for us to love Christ more. This is a prayer that we would comprehend how much He loves us. And when that happens, so many other things get put in place in our lives. Verse 19 says, Christ's love surpasses knowledge. It means that it's incomprehensible. So in a sense, we're praying to comprehend the incomprehensible. And without the help of God, we can't understand the love of God. And if you've ever appreciated the love of Christ, you received help from the Holy Spirit to do that. This is a prayer for the saints to fathom the unfathomable. This is a prayer for all the saints to know all the love of Christ together. And that is just beyond our experience. That is just beyond our experience. Can we admit that? Christ's love surpasses knowledge. Christ's love is beyond us in all its limitless dimensions. So we've got some measurements here. Christ's love is wide enough to include everyone, Jews and Gentiles and everyone in the world who will believe. Christ's love is long enough to last how long? For an eternity. And Christ's love is deep enough to reach the worst sinner and the worst circumstance. And God's love is high enough to bring us safely home into a new heaven and a new earth. That's love. And I would encourage again the adults to stay for connections after this service. We're going to circle the chairs and share together, have some meet and greet, and then we're going to have a personal testimony of the love of Christ and how it's reaching others around the world. So the third and final petition in this prayer is to pray for the fullness of God. Verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So here we have the goal of the whole prayer here. The final purpose is that we would be filled with all of God. Adam Clark said to be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is still greater, but to be filled with all the fullness of God utterly bewilders the sense and confounds the understanding. I thought to myself, If I pray that prayer and God answers that prayer, I think I'm going to blow up. How in the world is that possible? So once again, this prayer is beyond me. It's beyond us. And it's not that we're going to blow up. The prayer is that we would ultimately grow up, that we would be all that God wants us to be in this world, that we would find our purpose and have the power to do our purpose as He has planned for us in the world. Fullness here refers to being fully mature people, godly people, walking in step with His plans and purposes. So in short, the prayer points us to the ultimate goal of Christian living, which is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the ultimate goal of Christian living, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be like Him. Romans 8 says, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's our destiny. 1 John 3 says, we know when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So that's the goal. And the prayer just gives us a head start on that goal. So this prayer for fullness comes down to this: a prayer for Christ likeness. For me, for you, for our children, for everyone. We should pray that we would all be more like Christ and be fully mature men and women, be godly as Christ was. So here's the summary. God is teaching us to pray beyond ourselves, and that means we pray for inner strength by the Holy Spirit. We pray for comprehension to understand how much Christ loves us, and we pray for the fullness of God, which means full maturity and Christ's likeness. Do you pray like that? Do you pray like this? We should. And may the Lord help us to comprehend how to pray these great things for one another and for the church. R.A. Torrey said, prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. Are we ready to pray like this? Do you believe that our prayers, that your prayers, will unlock God's infinite grace and power? Well, maybe you're not sure. Maybe you're not convinced. So We have a doxology to push you over the edge, to be a believer again in the awesomeness of prayer. Ephesians 3:20. Listen to this. Paul is not done. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. How's that? Now we've been pushed up to new heights here. This is a sevenfold doxology. And it begins with the first one down at the bottom. Next slide. That God is able to do. That's what it says. God is able to do. God is a working God. Jesus said, my Father's always working. And what is His work? His work is to answer our prayers. So remember that. God is able to do. And then it says, God is able to do all we ask. And so we ask in prayer for these great things that are according to His will. And then it says, God is able to do what we think. Sometimes you think about praying for something, but you don't do it because you think, well, I don't think God could do that. And then it says forth that God is able to do all we think. So keep on thinking about how great it is to pray and to seek the Lord and pray these great things according to His will. But He's not done yet. God is able to do above all we ask or think. So you can ask and think, but God's able to do above all of that. But he's not done yet. God is able to do abundantly above all we ask or think. So you ask and think, and then you ask and think and try to do one step above that, and God can do much more than that. And then the final step in climbing these heights of God's infinite grace is this: God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. What are you going to do with that? Don't you want to pray? We've not only lost the theology of prayer, we've lost our imaginations in prayer, what God can do. And sometimes the Word of God pricks us in our imagination to get our theology right. And that's what I think is happening here. We fail because we can't imagine what an infinite God can do. But just think, if we would just ask and think and pray again and again like this, for the inner strength by the Holy Spirit, for the comprehension to know how much Christ loves us and to be fully mature like Christ in the world. How's that for a prayer beyond our imagination? And God will answer. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we take time now to pray like Paul, to pray as the Spirit breathed out these words for Paul, to teach us how to pray like this. So I pray for the body of Living Rock Church today. I pray for myself, our staff, our people. God, give us inner strength by the Holy Spirit. Give us strength in mind, in will, in emotion. May we be clear-headed. May we be determined. May the cross be before us. May that be our vision, to follow Christ and be strong through temptation, through trial, through difficulty. And God, help us to comprehend how much you love us, and help us to be grounded in that love. May that love be our foundation. May our lives and our imagination go deep down into the love of Christ, and may that love spill out to other people, to our wives, to our husbands, to our children, to our neighbors, to our town. May we love one another as you ground us and establish us in the love of Christ. Help us to know how much you love us. And I pray, God, you would mature us, whether we're young or old, whether we're boys or girls, men or women, whether we're parents or grandparents or singles. We pray that you would mature us beyond ourselves. Help us, God, to grow and to be more and more mature and more like Christ in the way that we think, in the way that we act, in the words that we use, in the choices we make, in the relationships that we build. I pray we would have the maturity of Christ in ourselves and all our relationships. And Lord, thank you for the promise that you will do exceedingly abundantly beyond what I have just prayed. Thank you for the infinite riches of your grace and your love for us. May we go today filled with wonder and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.